Picture the commute. Not the one you're doing right now in a car on a clogged expressway, the other one. The one the air taxi industry has been promising since roughly 2015. 40 miles from a suburban parking lot to downtown. 15 minutes, no traffic lights, no merging, no getting cut off by someone who has apparently never read a merge sign in their life. Just lift off, cruise, land. I am Vector, and this is Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar. Today, I want to talk about the company that may be the closest to actually delivering that experience in the United States. Not because the marketing says so, because the test flight data is starting to say so. The company is Archer Aviation. The aircraft is called Midnight, and the certification path they are walking right now is one of the most technically demanding things the FAA has attempted to regulate in decades. Before we get into it, a quick word from AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins for the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Let's break this down, starting with what Midnight actually is, because the design choices are not obvious until you understand the engineering problem Archer was trying to solve. Midnight carries one pilot and four passengers. It has 12 propellers total. Six of those propellers are mounted on tilting pylons along the leading edge of the wing. Six more are fixed-pitch rotors positioned in a row behind. When Midnight takes off vertically, all 12 propellers spin, giving the aircraft the distributed lift it needs to climb off a small pad without the large rotor disc of a traditional helicopter. As the aircraft accelerates forward, the front six tilt progressively from vertical to horizontal, transitioning the aircraft into wingborne flight. The rear six fixed rotors then unload gradually and stop. At cruise, Midnight is flying on its wing, not its rotors. This transition architecture is the dominant design philosophy across most of the credible eVTOL competitors, and there is a very good reason for that. Hover is expensive. The amount of power required to maintain a hover scales directly with vehicle weight, and you are fighting gravity the entire time. Fixed wing cruise, by comparison, is dramatically more efficient because the wing generates lift from forward velocity rather than pure thrust. If you design an eVTOL that has to maintain rotor lift all the way from origin to destination, the battery pack required to do that job becomes so large that the aircraft is commercially impractical. The companies that have tried purely multicopter designs for longer range routes are fighting that energy math every day, and the math is not on their side. Midnight targets a cruise speed of around 150 miles per hour and a range of about 60 miles per charge. Let me be honest about what that 60 miles represents. It is not the range Archer wished for. It is the range the physics allowed given where battery energy density sits right now, the weight penalties inherent in a certifiable airframe, and the power budget required for the vertical portions of each flight. Here is the thing though, 60 miles covers essentially every commercially viable air taxi route in American urban markets, San Jose to San Francisco, Los Angeles Basin crossings, Miami to Fort Lauderdale, Dallas City Center to DFW. The routes where ground congestion is severe enough that someone will pay a meaningful premium to skip it are almost all under 60 miles. The eVTOL business model does not need transcontinental range. It needs enough range to serve the specific city pair problem, and 60 miles is enough for that. Now, the noise question. Because this is something that gets overlooked in most eVTOL coverage, and it is fundamental to whether these aircraft can actually operate in dense urban environments. Traditional helicopters are loud in a very specific way. The main rotor disc is large, rotating at relatively low speed, and the blade-vortex interaction during approach, when the blades fly through their own wake, generates a distinctive thudding noise that carries for miles. That noise is one of the primary reasons helicopter operations in urban cores have faced community opposition for decades. The few heliports that exist in major American cities operate under strict time-of-day restrictions, and noise abatement procedures that significantly limit their utility. The physics of distributed electric propulsion work differently. Midnight uses 12 smaller rotors instead of one large one. Smaller rotor discs spinning at higher speeds generate noise at higher frequencies. Higher frequency noise attenuates with distance much more quickly than low frequency noise. The blade vortex interaction signature is also different because the rotors are smaller and the overlap geometry is different. Independent acoustic measurements of eVTOL aircraft and hover have consistently shown noise levels in the 65 to 70 decibel range at a distance of 100 meters. A conventional helicopter at the same distance is typically 20 to 25 decibels louder. In practical terms, midnight taking off from a downtown vertiport is closer to urban background noise than to the thump of a helicopter. That distinction is not a marketing claim. It is a physics outcome, and it matters enormously to the permitting fight that every vertiport developer is going to face. Here is where the story gets specifically interesting for pilots, because the certification framework for Midnight involves a category that did not meaningfully exist in FAA regulations until very recently. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, spent decades building certification frameworks for airplanes and rotorcraft. An eVTOL like Midnight is neither, at least not in any traditional regulatory sense. It takes off and lands like a rotorcraft, cruises like a fixed-wing airplane, and uses distributed electric propulsion with 12 independent motors, where a failure in one does not automatically compromise the mission. The FAA had no existing box for this. They had to build one. In 2023, the FAA finalized a special federal aviation regulation, SFAR R23, that established the framework for powered lift aircraft. That rule created the new aircraft category, defined the certification pathway, and set pilot qualification requirements for operating these aircraft commercially. For those of you curious about what it takes to fly one of these for hire, the framework establishes a new pilot certificate category called powered lift. The training requirements cover the transition regime between rotary and fixed-wing flight, which is genuinely a distinct piloting skill set. It is not a simple add-on to an existing rotorcraft or airplane certificate. The FAA essentially had to design a new training and testing structure from the ground up, and instructors who want to teach in the powered lift category have their own set of qualification requirements to meet. The aircraft certification side is where the heaviest engineering work lives. Archer is pursuing a type certificate under the powered lift category. This process involves demonstrating safe aircraft response under every credible failure scenario. What happens when one motor fails during the transition from vertical to horizontal flight? What about two simultaneous failures during approach to a vertiport, when you're slow and close to the ground? What about a battery management system fault that reduces available power across multiple motors at a critical moment? You have to run every one of those scenarios, demonstrate that the aircraft responds in a way that gives the pilot or the automation a recoverable situation, and do it to the satisfaction of FAA engineers who are, by the agency's own acknowledgement, still refining what their acceptance criteria should be. There is no decades-long database of powered lift accident history to draw from. The certification engineers and the aircraft engineers are both working at the frontier simultaneously. Archer received a special airworthiness certificate for Midnight in 2023. That certificate is not the finish line. It is permission to gather the data required to apply for the finish line, which is the type certificate. The gap between those two documents is where the real work happens. And it is where several eVTOL companies have discovered that their original timeline assumptions were more optimistic than the process allowed. To Archer's credit, they have been flying. Their test campaign has been running out of Salinas Municipal Airport in California, a quiet general aviation airport in the Salinas Valley that sits far enough from dense controlled airspace to give test crews meaningful room to work. Midnight has been accumulating real flight hours. That matters because every hour of test data narrows the uncertainty margins around aircraft performance and handling qualities, and narrowing those margins is what moves the conversation with the FAA forward. The weight management problem is real across the entire industry, and Archer has been more transparent about it than most. When you take a prototype that flies well and add the structural reinforcement required by certification standards, the redundant systems required for safe failure handling, the fire suppression and containment systems required for lithium battery packs carrying passengers, and all of the cabin provisions required for commercial operation, the aircraft gets heavier than the clean sheet design intended. Every pound of certification weight costs you range, payload, or both. Archer's current published specs reflect a design that has gone through multiple iterations of that weight versus performance negotiation, and the 60-mile range number is the outcome of that process. It is not a limitation they chose, it is the number they arrived at after building something that can actually get a type certificate. The battery technology picture is worth a moment because it underpins the long-term commercial story. Current lithium chemistry cells achieve roughly 250 to 300 watt-hours per kilogram of energy density. The eVTOL industry has generally identified that something in the range of 400 watt-hours per kilogram would meaningfully transform the economics, allowing either longer range, higher payload, or a smaller and lighter battery pack that reduces the weight penalty across the whole design. Solid-state battery chemistry is the technology most frequently cited as the path to that improvement, and serious development programs are underway at multiple manufacturers. But the gap between laboratory results and production scale, aviation-certified battery cells, is significant. And the timeline for reaching that 400 watt-hour threshold in a form that works in a certified aircraft is measured in years, not months. The aircraft flying today are designed around the cells that exist today. The ones flying in 2032 will look different. On the competitive landscape, context matters. Joby Aviation, which we covered in a previous episode, is further along the type certification process and has more test hours in the bank. Joby is also pursuing a transport category type certificate, which is a higher certification standard than Archer's Path, but one that opens the door to scheduled Part 121 airline operations. Wisk Aero, backed by Boeing, is pursuing fully autonomous operations with no pilot on board, which is a fundamentally different regulatory challenge. Three companies, three different bets on how the eVTOL market develops, and each with real engineering credibility behind it. What distinguishes Archer's commercial position is the United Airlines partnership. United has agreed to purchase a significant number of Midnight aircraft with an intent to launch air taxi service in markets where United already operates. That is not a startup's letter of intent with an airline nobody has heard of. That is one of the two largest carriers in the country making a real operational commitment to this category. It establishes the demand side of the equation in a way that makes the investment story coherent for the capital markets that have to keep funding this work before revenue starts. But here is what most coverage of eVTOL does not spend enough time on. The aircraft is only part of the problem. Vertiport infrastructure is the underreported variable in this entire industry. To operate a point-to-point air taxi network, you need vertiports at both ends of every route. A vertiport is not just a helipad with a charger plugged into it. It needs high-power electrical infrastructure, capable of fast-charging multi-hundred kilowatt-hour battery packs between flights. Because the business model only works if aircraft are turning around quickly and flying multiple missions per day. It needs ground handling capacity, passenger processing, weather protection, and enough physical footprint to handle simultaneous arrivals and departures without conflict. And it needs to be located where passengers actually want to go, which in most cities means urban real estate that is either very expensive, very difficult to permit, or both. Getting a vertiport approved in a dense urban environment means navigating zoning boards, noise variance applications, environmental review, local community opposition, and utility upgrade negotiations with the grid provider. None of that process is faster than aircraft certification. In some cities, it will be slower. The first operator that figures out how to systematically compress vertiport permitting timelines will have a genuine competitive advantage, and nobody has cracked that problem yet. The data tells an interesting story about the realistic overall timeline. The most optimistic, credible scenario for commercial eVTOL passenger operations in the United States is the late 2020s. That is not a dismissal of the technology. The physics are sound. The regulatory framework now exists. The aircraft are flying. But type certificate issuance, commercial air operator certification, vertiport permitting, and fleet scale-up all have to happen in sequence, with adequate margin, and any one of them can slow the others. There is a version of the next decade where you can book a midnight flight from a downtown vertiport the same way you book a rideshare today, and the only barrier to casual use is the price premium. That version is plausible. There is also a version where the timeline slips to the early 2030s, where battery improvements take longer than projected, and vertiport build-out encounters municipal resistance that nobody fully budgeted for. That version is also plausible. Sitting comfortably in the uncertainty between those two outcomes is probably the most honest place to be. Archer is doing real work. Midnight is a real aircraft accumulating real test hours toward a real type certificate. The FAA is engaged with this certification in a way that reflects both the complexity of the task and the priority the agency is placing on getting the framework right. The outcome is not guaranteed. The direction of travel is... The next milestone to watch is type certificate issuance. Not because it ends the story, but because it starts the operational chapter. When Archer has a type certificate, The conversation shifts from whether this aircraft can be certified to when the first commercial passenger boards one. We are not there yet, but we are closer than we were 12 months ago, and the test data is moving the right direction. Background for this segment came from FAA regulatory documents, Archer Aviation's public disclosures, and coverage from Aviation Week and Vertical Magazine. RadioHangar.com for more. I'm Vector. Stay curious.